Good morning, everybody.
And thank you very much to Gav for coming. He's very busy now. He's taking time off. He's absolutely wonderful.
Okay.
In Germany, he thinks it's a bit inconvenient. He has to say no. When he's in Israel.
ואלה המשפטים אשר תשים לפניהם. כי תקנה עבד עברי. So first of all, in order to understand what we're talking about that's ואלה, it's connected directly to the last parasha, that everything is we got from directly from Kadosh Baruch Hu, from Sinai. And all those mishpatim that we've got, one of the interesting points is that if you take you have a court case and you take it to the normal courts, you're not supposed to do this. You're supposed to go to Beis Din, and if the Beis Din gives you the permission, then you can go to normal courthouse. Otherwise, you're not allowed to do it because we have different rules, different laws than the Goyim. Though it's very interesting that our parsha, most of the things we see in the parsha are reasonable things that every society has got, like dealing and wheeling between each other, and it looks like it's the same as the laws of the Goyim.
The laws of the Goyim also the civil courts in Israel.
Yeah. I didn't want to go into it, but it's the same thing. As long as you don't go to according to the halacha, to the Torah. Beis Din. You go to Beis Din. You don't go to a normal court. Anyway, what is the difference really between our laws and theirs law? But before we go into this, there is another important, interesting thing. When Am Yisrael says, Na'aseh v'nishma, we will hear, and then, we'll do, and then we'll hear. And this is very strange. You know, how is somebody committing himself to something that he doesn't even know what it's all about? And there is a well-known story in the Gemara, in Shabbat, Pei Chet Amud Aleph, How Utzdoki, Dechazia Lerava, Dekamayen Beshmata, Viyatve Etzbat Edidei, Tutikra, Vekamayetz Behu, Vekamabanetz Beotei Dam. This Zdoiki, was seeing Rava sitting, like, you know, Yeshiva Mizrachit, and how you said, you know, sitting on his knees and his fingers underneath him, and he says that there's blood coming out of his fingers. He says, You are stupid people. I'm a pziza. You are hasty people. You do things without thinking. I'm a pziza. The kadmaitu pumaihu lo adnaihu akati bechazute kayamtu bereisha ibay lehu lemashba imatzitu kablitu veilolo kablitu. I don't understand. You are stupid people. You first of all you do and then you ask questions, and this is a stupid thing to do. And really, if we think about it, how is it possible that really Am Yisrael says naaseh v'nishma without hearing even what it's all about? Okay, we're going to do it. And this brings us to our belief. What is emunah? What is a belief? I believe in God. What is the difference between knowing and believing? So knowing is facts. I know the facts. Believing, it's in your heart. It's in your heart. It's something that you go with. You believe God. You believe God is the Almighty and He does all the best things for you. I read a very interesting story about a guy that came from the States to visit. He lives in the States, and he came to visit Eretz Israel. Came with his family, with his three kids, with his wife. And when they're going back after being here for a month, he's asking his kids, "What was the best day for them? What is the day they enjoy the most?" So the first kid says, "It's the day when we went to your rabbi." And the other kid says, "It's the day when we went to Geula to buy kippot." And the last one said, "It was the day when we went to your mother, to the grandmother." And he was thinking to himself, "What's going on here? What? Why each one of them is enjoying a different day?" It took him 12 hours of the flight to realize that in each time he was alone with one of the kids. In other words, the kids loved the day when a father was alone with them, not with all the family. He was 100% with this kid. And this is a very important point. Sometimes, you know, you have more kids, less kids, that's not the point. The point is you have to make sure that you have quality time with your kids, and not with all of them together, which is a different issue, with each one of them separately. Because he has to get the feeling he's got a father that is his father. He's not only the father of everybody. And this is exactly the point. If we realize, understand what is Ashgachah Pratit, what is the meaning of God is looking after each one of us individually. That's exactly the idea, to understand and realize that God walks with us. God is with each one of us by himself. And if we get this feeling and we understand and realize who God is, that he is the Almighty, and whatever he does for the good, for the good. And everything, and he's got the power to do everything. He is the only one, the one and the only one. Now, if you go with this feeling and you understand that if your father, who loves you very much, and looks up to you like individually on everything you do in life, and he's asking you to do something, is it good or bad? Must be good. In other words, in order to get to the level of Am Yisrael saying to God, Na'aseh v'nishma, it's the level of believing and understanding that God is there for us in every stage of our life, and whatever he asks us to do is for the good of us. Even if now we don't understand what it's all about, it's still for the best. And this is the level of emunah that we have to reach, to understand and realize. Then you can get to the point, Na'aseh v'nishma. Nevertheless, another interesting point, what is happening here in Na'aseh v'nishma, is that everybody together as one said it. We wish it will happen to them, especially now we're standing in front of the third election. But unfortunately, we are a little far away from there, but that is exactly what we should try to achieve. At least everybody in his own family, his own community, and maybe if all of us, and each one of us will try and work on what puts us together and not what puts us apart, maybe things will look differently. Anyway, Ele HaMishpatim. So when we understand what is this all about, by the way, I heard unbelievable, I'm sure you, maybe you heard about it also, talking about believing in God, is this guy, Kivi Bernhard. Did you hear about him? Kivi Bernhard from South Africa. He wrote a book about learning from lepers how to deal with business, and it was a very successful book. And it became a bestseller, and everybody called him to talk about it, is how to do business and anything. And one day he gets a phone call from a guy named John, who is one of the top executives of Microsoft. One of the, let's say, on top of him it's only maybe Bill Gates, and he's asking him to come and open their convention they have somewhere in the world, I don't know, and they're offering quite a big sum, big amount of money. He checks this in a calendar and he realizes that it is Shabbos. So he tells him, sorry, can't do it. He says, what's the problem? I'll give you double. Can't do it. I'll give you three times. Can't do it. You know what? I'll give you a check. You write what you want to write there. He says, sorry, impossible. That's it. I am observing Jew. I keep Shabbos. I cannot work on Shabbos. That's it. The phone was down, and an hour later, he gets another phone. He says, okay, we're moving the date. Now, true story, we're moving the date, and it's going to be on Sunday, not on Saturday. And a few months later, this guy phones in. You know, we were talking a few days ago on the plane with Bill Gates, with all the executives of Microsoft, and we mentioned you, talking about what happened, and that we offered you a fortune of money and you would not take it. You were very particular and very straight to say, Shabbos, that's what it is. It's not a matter of money. I keep Shabbos and there is nothing to talk about. And Bill Gates said, you see, this is a guy with principle. This is a guy with a belief. You see, all the money in the world, I can buy planes, I can buy houses, buildings, I can buy a lot of things, but I cannot buy this Jew who keeps Shabbos. I cannot buy his Shabbos. And this is emunah. This is exactly the point. I said, I heard this story, and then I checked it again and again, and I said, you know, if they're going to offer it to us, what are you going to do? I think Mar the same. But so it's not such a great thing what you did from our point of view, from a point of view of a believer, because for us, it's straight ahead. What it doesn't matter. Shabbos is Shabbos. We keep Shabbos. You cannot force me not to keep Shabbos even if you give me now $1 million. That doesn't matter. But that is exactly the point of belief. When you tell the story to somebody, it's something unbelievable. But if we look at it in our own eyes, I hope so, yes. It doesn't matter what they offer us, we won't take it. Because Shabbos for us is that's our sign. That is the symbol of our belief. And if I'm going to give the Shabbos away, and by the way, there were generations, there were problems. It's not so easy to talk, but I believe that in this room, at least, nowadays, nobody will take anything to just Mechalel Shabbos in the way that we're talking about. So now we come to the Mishpatim. Now we start realizing that our Mishpatim, our laws, are not the same as the Goyim. It's a whole different story. Ve'ela Mishpatim asher tasim lifnehem. He says, you have to put those in front of them. And when we're talking about putting the laws in front of them, it's also another interesting point. Asher tasim lifnehem shez Rashi. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe. לא תעלה על דעתך לומר אשנה להם הפרק וההלכה בתוגים. I'm going to tell it to them twice, three times, so they know what it's all about. עד שתהה סדורה בפיהם כמשנתה. ואיני מטריח עצמי להבינם טעמי הדבר ופירושו. לכן נאמר, אשר תשים לפניהם כשולחן הערוך ומוכן לאכול לפני האדם. You have to put it in front of them like a ready meal, with a knife and with a fork, you just have to put the fork in and eat. Otherwise, you didn't do your job. In other words, to stand and tell the people, you're not allowed to do this. You have to do this, 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 this. And you say it twice, say it three times. Doesn't matter. If you don't put it in front of them in a language that they understand, and you make sure that they understand, like a meal that is ready, you don't put the chicken not cooked. You put the chicken cooked and ready to eat. You don't put a tomato and a cucumber, you put a salad on the plate. In other words, this is what the job that Moshe has to do. And why is it so important? Because when we look in our parsha, we would think that the difference between us and the Goy is on Shabbos, Tzitzit, Mezuzah, Tefillin, but we don't talk about those mitzvahs at all in our parsha. We talk about normal mitzvahs that every society has to have. Like how to live your life with your fellow man. You're not allowed to steal. You're not allowed to steal. Those are logical things. What is so special about them? And nevertheless, let's say that I have a court case with somebody that stole money from me. What does it matter if I go to a Beis Din or I go to a normal court? The result is going to be the same. He has to give me back what he stole. But the halacha says, you don't allow to do this. This is archaot shel goyim. You're not allowed to go to a normal court to have even this simple thing being judged there. Because we are different. What is so different about our laws? So by the way, we maybe, as we said, na'aseh v'nishma, that's the first thing we do. But we can start and understand a little that there is a big difference. For example, taking interest, rebate. Are you allowed to take rebate from a goy?
Yeah.
Allowed. So this is a very strange law. You are not allowed to take rebate from your own people, but you're allowed to take rebate from a goy? This is not nice. Why should you take rebate from a goy?
Does he take from you?
It's very simple. It's nothing wrong here. Because I'm not allowed to take rebate from my fellow man, and I'm not allowed to give rebate also. It goes both ways. But the goyim, they've got no problem with it. They take interest, they pay interest. So, in other words, that's a small difference, yes.
Can't use the same argument with people cheating in tax? Because they're going to take from you, therefore you can take from them. That's the same argument.
That's not an argument. We are talking about the laws of the Torah that tell you something that looks strange. Why does it look strange? Because it's not fair. You tell me that I'm not allowed to take interest, but then you tell me that from a goy you're allowed to take. So why? Why is it allowed from a goy and not allowed from a Jew? That's not a matter of I pay. No, it's a matter of a Jew confronting a goy. What is the difference between us? That's the question. And the difference is big. Because they're allowed. They've got no problem taking interest.
There's a problem in the Middle Ages where the goyim took on this halacha. And the Jews are the only people who lend them money. So the Jews are the only one taking interest. The goyim weren't taking from each other, supposedly.
I'm sure that everybody who loaned money, even if it was a goy to a goy, they took. It's reason also today, here in our society today, it's impossible not to take interest.
Yeah, we even do it ourselves, being our
friends. You do it all the time. So how is it allowed? It's a teriska. The reason is not so simple. But because that today the way we will and deal is different than in the old times, so today it's a different system. But even though, and this is why people ask sometimes, what is this game in Pesach, you're selling the chometz? It's not a game. It's living according to the Torah. That's what it is. As we said before, even if you don't understand, that is living according to the Torah. In other words, if I have a way to sell the chametz and have it back after Pesach, according to halacha, it's no problem. That's exactly what we're doing. And now, it's not a game, because you really sell it. If you check it, you see it's really sell. But they do it in a way that it's impossible, almost impossible, for the guy to really take the chometz because he didn't pay the whole amount of money and he needs a lot of money to pay, and etc., etc., etc. And in the same way is when Torah tells us you are not allowed to take interest from a Jew, but you are allowed to take interest from a goy from a very simple reason. Because if I come to my example, let's say we are a family, and your son asks you a loan. Are you going to think about taking interest from your son? No. But if a stranger comes, it's a different issue. That's the same thing. Am Israel is Am Echad. And we have our own laws. That's why, this is not only this. For example, Kolam Vayesh Chavero Barabim, what is the halacha saying about this guy who shames a guy in front of others? He's like a Rotzeach. From the other side, in order to put in jail a murderer, you know what you need? A lachin kli, when you go through it, it's almost impossible. Almost impossible. You need to have two witnesses, they need to see the action itself, they need to be there and warn the guy. And, you know, for example, even if you see two people run, and one is running with a knife after the other, and you see them going to a building, and then you come into the building and you see the guy with a knife with blood and the guy is dead on the floor, you still cannot do anything because you didn't see the act itself and you didn't warn him, etc., etc. In other words,
I don't think you're correct in saying you can't do anything. You can't be killed for the
There are ways.
But
it's not as it is with the goyim. For example, with the goyim, you have sometimes somebody who sits in jail from a crime he did, and then after 20 years, they find out he wasn't the guy who did it. Now, in the good case, they didn't kill him. But in the bad case, they killed him. Then they found out, he was. Why? Because the Torah, En la dayan ela ma she'enav ro'ot. In our eyes, this is what we see. So in order to protect the people, the Torah gives very strict laws, but we don't worry about anything because this is all from God. And in Parsha also, Ki lo atzdik rasha, he says, you don't have to worry. You know, there's this strange law in our Parsha. A guy comes to a court and he's found guilty. He goes out of the court and somebody runs, I've got something to say for his favor. So they take him back to court. And they open the case again, and they can do this twice and three times, four times. It's even that the Gemara says that there was somebody with a flag and the horse, and they used to go out to the place where they are going to execute him. And on the way, there was this guy looking back, and if there was something happening, the guy was waving with a flag, and the guy with the horse used to run and bring the people back. and they opened the case again. But if it happened the other way around, if the guy was justified, he was
innocent,
and he went out and somebody comes, I know he did it and I've got... That's it. It's too late. Why? Because that's exactly what God tells us to do. And God says, you have to worry about it? I'm there, and I'm looking, and I don't worry. If he is really guilty, I will find a way to pay off what he needs to get. For example, the Rashi brings the Parsha a story with somebody who killed by mistake, and the other one who killed intentionally, and nobody saw it. So this guy didn't go to Irmitlat, and the other guy wasn't getting to court. What is God doing? He puts them together in the same place, and this guy goes on a ladder up, falls on the guy that killed intentionally, so everybody sees it. Now this guy who was killing intentionally is dead. He paid his duty. And the guy who nobody saw when he did this, killed somebody by accident, now everybody saw, so he has to run to Irmitlat. So that is belief. That's belief. We have to do what God tells us to do. Ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. And also, one of the important things is that why is it so important the mishpatim in our parsha? Why not other mishpatim? So if we look through, we see that there are really things that are happening to us, and the Torah wants us to know. That's why Kodesh Baruch Hu tells Moshe, Ela mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. You have to make sure that they understand it all. Because as I think we talked last week, it's impossible that it will go for every small question to the rabbi. There are things that you need to know by yourself. What is milk and what is meat? What you do when you wake up in the morning? What you are allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do? Basic things you need to know. You need to learn them. Then if there are more complicated things, then you go and ask the rabbi. But you cannot go and ask the rabbi for everything. Unfortunately, we are always being judged by the world around us. And there's another explanation that when Moshe Rabbeinu is up there in heaven, so God is telling him, what I told you, you're not going to tell them. Meaning what? The way I told you, if you're going to talk with them like this, they will not understand anything. You have to speak with the people with their own language. As we said last week, Kotomar lebet Yaakov etagid lebet Yisrael. But there is a way to talk with those that are on a higher level and a low level. You cannot talk the way I talk with you because nobody will understand you. You have to put it in front of them. This is also very important because sometimes you go to a rabbi, you ask him a question, you get an answer that left you with a lot of, let's say, 200 other questions. So what did we do? By the way, it's not all. Sometimes you have to think by yourself. You know, like always remember the case. I went once to Chaim Kanievsky. I had a terrible week and everything was going wrong. So I went maybe Ayin Hara, whatever. Reb Chaim Kanievsky doesn't believe in Ayin Hara anyway. So you know, I came there and I asked him a question and he answered, and he's got like those short answers that you have to need them, the Tosfot and the Rashi, Rishonim, Achronim, in order to understand what he means. Anyway, I told him, I didn't even finish talking. He said, there are only 2 days in the year that you work on Parnassah. That's it. That was the answer. So I'm going on. 2 days that you work on Parnassah. 2 days on Rosh Hashanah. That's it. So I was thinking to myself, walking on the street, he says, well, what did you tell me? So why do I daven every day for Parnassah? Why do I pray for Parnassah every day? If it was decided on Rosh Hashanah and everything is okay now, so what's the problem? Why should I pray every day for Parnassah? But then I saw what the Torah is saying. They say every time Kirat Shema, Vayayim Shomad Shmu in Sotar Shema Chetzvahim and Atati Gishmechem Be'itam. Very interesting. The Torah is telling us if we are going to listen to the Torah and going to do the Torah, then we'll have rain and red prosperity. But if we don't listen, we won't have rain. So here, like, I started to understand what Reb Chaim Kanievsky meant. Because there is a Gemara that is talking about this issue and asking what's going on here. First of all, we know that there is no reward in this world. So how does it go with Vayayim Shamoas? If you listen, you get rain. And if you don't, you won't. There is no reward in this world. So what's going on here? So first of all, we talked about it 100 times, I think, about it's not a reward. It's what you say, like Tnae Avodah. How do you say Tnae Avodah in English? Work conditions or...
Terms
of, like you go to a high-tech firm today, you have everything there. Whatever you want, wherever you can dream, you have food, you have a gym, you have everything. But it's not a part of your salary. It's things that they give you in order that you will have good environment to work and do your job. That's not the salary. It's means for you to do a good job. In other words, if we do a good job, God is going to provide us good terms so we can worship God in the best way we can. But if we're not going to use them, we're going to abuse them, then it's going to give us other tools that sometimes could be on the other side around. It's going to be terrible things because to wake us up to make the right thing. In other words, when we are praying for Parnoso, so first of all, yes, on Rosh Hashanah, everything is decided. But, let's say, says the Gemara, people did tshuva, unbelievable, everything is okay, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, but then, a day after Yom Kippur, they become sinners. Now, in heaven, it was decided they're going to go and get plenty of rain. By the way, rain, Geshem, is the sign of Gashmiut. So it's not only the meaning of rain, it's everything. It's a panos, whatever. And what's happening now? They are big sinners. Are they going to get what God promised them? What do you think?
Sure.
But God is going to give them all the rain he promised on one day, on one place. Now what's going to happen now? Everything, nothing is going to grow. Everything's going to corrupt. Because if you have everything together in one place, it's finished. So God promised, and he gives. But the thing is, according to your behavior, you decide if your tool is a tool that can take it, or your tool's got holes and it's going to go out. So in other words, if, for example, didn't do tshuva. The people didn't do tshuva on Yom Kippur. They didn't do it on Rosh Hashanah, didn't do it on Rosh Hashanah. And then it was decided in heaven that they're going to get very few drops of rain. But after Yom Kippur, they took themselves in their hands and they did a real tshuva. Now what's going to happen? God already decided what's going to be. So how can we change this? And this is, by the way, also this beautiful invention of Israel. This is the taftafot, the drop system. So God is going to give you all those drops he promised, but in the right place, at the right time. And in other words, sometimes even, those who know, that this system of drops in the right place, drops, not a lot of water, the things are growing much better. So in other words, what Reb Chaim Kanievsky was telling me in his a few words was, the parnosa is from God. On Rosh Hashanah, you pray for the parnosa. Now your job is to do it in the right way and to receive what God promised you and have the vessel to keep it in you. Because we are vessels. That's what we do all the time. We create vessels in order to take the light from God. And the same way is in the spiritual world, and the same way is in the physical world. So this is really what we do. Now talking about the laws of the Torah and what happens around us and the influence of us, it's very interesting that the Torah, as we said, started with those mitzvahs. Because those normal things that happened around us sometimes are very tricky. For example, I don't know if you... I saw a very interesting article about a competition between Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and RC. RC Cola. They did a competition. They did a taste test. And they didn't like to put in front of each one of the tester, they put three glasses. Nothing written on them. One was Pepsi Cola, the other was Coca Cola, and the third one was RC Cola. And then they asked them to taste and to tell which one is the best. It was unbelievable to see that the best was decided was Pepsi. Very interesting. Pepsi, I think, till now they use this test, those tests, in order to prove that their taste is better than Coca Cola. But when you ask the same people that just now tasted those three cups, what is the best drink? You know what they said? Coca-Cola. Why? Because we are brainwashed. And that's it. Nothing's going to help. And this is a real test. Pepsi are using it here and there in order to say, but still didn't help them. Coca-Cola is still the best selling in the world. And Pepsi is not the same. Whatever it is and how good it is, because at the end of the day, we are really influenced by all this brainwash. For example, you know what is YOLO? YOLO. You know, in the supermarket, you have this...
What? In the gas stations.
No, you have... It's a chocolate thing. It's called YOLO. Maadan, YOLO. You don't know YOLO?
Yeah.
What?
YOLO.
YOLO?
YOLO.
YOLO. You know what YOLO is? What it stands for?
Pudding.
Yeah, but what's the meaning of YOLO? You only live once.
That's what we eat.
No, it's amazing, like to think about it. Where, and you know how they advertised it in the beginning? It was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago. There was those big signs in the beginning. It's so good, it is like a sin. It is like a sin. It's so good, it is like a sin. That's the way they advertised it. So first of all, I didn't understand. Why don't they write it in Hebrew? We are in Eretz Yisrael. Why do they have to write it in English? And then, thinking about it, you say, you know what do you say, Coca-Cola here, their phrase of Coca-Cola, ta'am ha'chayim, the taste of life. I don't know what to say in English, by the way, I don't know. What is the slogan in English, I don't know. But anyway, that's the slogan in Hebrew. They said, Coca-Cola, ta'am ha'chayim. Really? Yeah. That's the taste of life, Coca-Cola. But that's how they go, and that's how they work. And this YOLO, they were going on the same thing. Like, to telling it's so good, it is like a sin. Yeah. So it's very interesting that afterwards I found out that the initials of YOLO is you only live once. You only live once. And what does it mean? This is exactly the attitude of the world. They say enjoy life. Now enjoy life means have all those beautiful things of life. You go after your lust. That's enjoy. To do mitzvahs? It's not enjoyable. This is suffering. By the way, you see if the Christian, for example, they have all those strange things, like they have Minzar Shatkani. They have this place that the people, they don't talk, the priests don't talk. Then they don't get married. Why? Because the joys of flesh are not going to give you close to God. They're going to take you far away from God. And when you look at things like this, really, what's going to make you keep the Torah? If you think that the Torah is terrible and it's miserable and to keep the mitzvahs is a burden, why should you do it? I believe in God. Okay, I believe in God, but why should I do it? I will find a way. I will try to find a way how to get out of it. And this is exactly the point. The point of view of Am Yisrael is different. We do get married. We do enjoy life. And mitzvah is a beauty and it's a simcha, big simcha. It's a joy. Not eating ma'adan chalav, whatever it is. That's not the idea of enjoyment. This is stupid. Enjoyment is to learn Torah. For you coming here and sitting here and learning Torah and enjoy the insight of the Torah. And I want to end this shiur in a very interesting thing that says the Rav Adam Sinai from the Zohar HaKadosh. And he says like this. We look at the Torah, we can look at it from the outside, we can dig in, and we can dig even inner, deeper. So the question is, what should we do? So the Rav Adam Sinai says, the Zohar says, Ke'en zo haya Torah, yesh laguf vehi mitzvat haTorah. The Torah's got a body, which is the mitzvahs of the Torah. Hanikraot gufei Torah, that's how they call it. Guf ze mitlabesh belivushim. This body is dressed in clothes. Shehem sipurim shel olam hazeh. Those are the story of this world. הטיפשים שבעולם, the stupid people of the world, אינם מסתכלים אלא בלבוש שבסיפור ההוא. They only look at how it looks from the outside. They look at the suit, how it looks outside. They don't look at what you are, what you really in. שהוא סיפור התורה ואינם יודעים יותר, ואינם מסתכלים במה שיש תחת הלב. They don't look about what is behind the cover, what is behind the story. אלו שיודעים יותר, those who know a little better, אינם מסתכלים בלבוש, אלא בגוף. They don't look at the story, they look at the body behind the story. שהוא תחת הלבוש ההוא. והחכמים, עבדי המלך העליון, and those clever people that are the slaves of the big king of the Kodesh Baruch Hu, אותם שעמדו בהר סיני, those who stand in the mount of Sinai, אינם מסתכלים אלא בנשמה שבתורה. They look at the soul of the Torah. Look at beautiful explanations from the Zohar. שהם עיקר הכל, תורה ממש. This is the Torah. Now, לעתיד לבוא, in the future, we will look not in the neshama, but in the neshama of the neshama. The world is divided to, what we call the neshama of a person is divided to five things. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Chaya, Ve'yechida. We only deal normally with the Nefesh, Ruach, Chaya. The Nefesh is the basic thing, which is the beastly soul, which is in the liver. In the heart, we have the spirit, which is the Ruach. And in our mind, our Seichel, we have the Neshama. But on top of this, there is the connection between our Neshama to up there. And that's are the two others. I hope that we all understand that when we read the stories of the Torah and we read the Mishpatim, we realize that it's not only what it is on the surface. It's much more in it.